We're back with video. Yes, we're here. We've got everything sorted. The video feeds are back up and running. Everything in the office has worked reasonably well today, apart from my laptop, which has gone into a brain fart. But the tech for presenting the shows just seems to work. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Joining me to discuss the week's technology. What a bunch. And it's an all-British bunch.
Tally-ho! Yay.
No Yanks.
We don't need those Yanks.
No Yanks on this panel. Oh, no. Top left, Jimmy Boyhart. How's it going, pal?
Hello, I'm pleased as punch, happy as a pig in Ramadan. I've got an update to my Android, and now it hasn't got the vulnerability anymore. Hooray! Hey, what? That was oh no, I've gone bloody yellow, haven't I? Now,
yeah, it'll correct.
I've got a tan. It took a month and a half, 2 months.
For that.
Not too bad.
How much money did you lose in that time then?
Oh, well, I've still got, because I've run the bloody Amazon app store, I've got to leave the apps from unknown sources ticked. Pain in the blooming arse. Right. But yeah, otherwise, I've hardly lost anything. And nobody knows all my passwords except the NSA.
Excellent. Jolly good. We always keep it that way. joining him in a very familiar seat for me, it would look like. Steve Neighbour.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you very much for letting me bunk at your place last week for the show.
That's no problem. When I'm away, it's good to have someone in the house looking after it. Yeah. I was in Turkey last week.
And?
I met lots of Russians.
Yeah, you can swear good, apparently.
I've been practicing I've learned some Russian swear words, so hopefully the iTunes thing doesn't work if we Russian swear in getting some explicit things.
I don't know if we've got any Russian followers, so.
Well, we'll find out.
We will. Yeah, you didn't bleep whatever it is.
But if I swear in Russian, does that mean we get a bleep?
No, we don't get a bleep. I have to add those.
Do you?
Did you think there's a bleep fairy comes along?
So you don't know if I make bleeps up words or if I actually am swearing in Russian.
Yeah. Tell you what, I'll just say and we'll see what happens, shall we? Let's see if the bleep fairy leaves £2 under my pillow tonight.
Okay. I didn't want to impact that on the show, but... No, I'm very well, thank you very much.
Good man, thank you. In the middle, Sarah Gray.
Oh, I'm next.
See?
Oh no, Sarah's going to unleash the other swear words.
Sarah the laid-back lush.
Lush, I've never been called lush before, but... I'm chilled, you know.
The laid-back lush on a litre of blush.
Have you been smoking something,
very
mate?
Very good, James, I like that. Except, I wish I was on a litre of blush, though, but it's just purely water.
You're supposed to mix something with that vodka, not on its own, mate.
I could tell you some horrible stories about vodka, but I won't.
Well, I'm sure Steve can after his week with Russians.
Now, first time I ever got drunk was on vodka, and I didn't know what was happening to me.
That's not...
that's a whole new thing.
I was going to say, that's an episode on its own. What happened to Sarah?
I was 15, and my school friends decided it would be fun to lace my Coke with vodka.
Oh. And? Did you make it home safe?
I was in Italy.
Oh, man, that's a hell of a walk.
Yeah, I was on holiday. It was a school holiday.
Oh, dear.
Were you clothed?
Did you lose an eyebrow?
Yeah, no, we were on the school trip, and we used to actually... do things during the day and then sit up and play cards and do stuff in the evening when the teacher gone to bed.
Right. And that's what you did.
Party, Steve. You didn't lose an eyebrow.
Oh, you're going to lose an eyebrow. Next to her, Carl Madden. How you doing, pal?
Hello. Very well. Thank you. How are you, sir?
You are looking hot, boy.
It's sweltering in this room.
Oh, man.
I might be the first person to collapse due to heat exhaustion, let alone being drunk.
Well, it's obviously taking effect already. I can't sleep. I can't sleep if it's warm, mate. You got to get instead of going out and buying an iPhone 6 when it comes out, go buy an air conditioner, dude.
Well, no, I can't fit one in here.
Carry it around on your back.
You got a TV running there. You've got all of the tech going off.
That's true. I'll just sleep naked. That'll scare any burger.
Moving on.
I'm trying to drink.
Apparently as well, we got a tweet. You know, we were talking in the match show about why you haven't got Netflix thingy yet. Yep. Apparently you have to set up the profiles and the account and stuff online. You can't do it on the device.
No, that's what I've been trying to do.
And you still can't?
You still can't do it yet.
Right, okay. There we go. And last, but by no means least, and I've left it till last, so he got some time to gather his thoughts together, because we have press ganged him into joining the panel. Right, E, how you doing, mate?
I'm totally unprepared.
Our new reviewer.
Yes.
Our new reviewer. You need to... Have I got your email address, mate?
And I'll send,
hang on.
I have no doc.
Ah, here we go. I got it. It's on the way. There we go.
Oh, thank you.
You got it. Now then, you our new reviewer, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Where the hell are you? Are you knocking over the local stores to get all these products to review?
No, I get them through work. So, you know, people say, oh, I want it back in an hour. And I give them, like, 2 days. And I kind of test the destruction and give it a go. So it's one of the perks of the job.
And then post reviews on our network. Thank you so much, mate. You've done two already in 2 days, so...
I've done three of them, one when you weren't looking.
Oh, good grief.
That's what you get if you leave your phone in the canteen at lunchtime. Swiped it.
Good on you, mate. Keep them coming, thick and fast. We love them.
Will do.
Good stuff. And the more reviews we get, the more likely we are to get stuff to review, is the way I figure it.
So that's what I thought.
We might even get a Surface.
Oh.
There's a few kicking around, from what I gather.
I need one to keep the door open.
Oh, easy. Before we do the week in tech, I've got something else to do, because we had the Bash the other week, which was the last time I actually broadcast live. And Helen, Princess Bagel, on Twitter, gave me a present, said I had to open it live on the show. Well, I didn't take it down because I didn't feel particularly great on the Saturday. So, I have not looked. I honestly have no clue what's in this.
Oh, yeah.
She gave me a present to open live on the show.
Not after 9 o'clock yet.
And I have the present. I have not touched it. I have not opened it. I have no clue what's in it. I may severely regret this, and I'm not going to say that if it's something that's wearable, I'll be able to wear it on the show. But
did anyone just get a glitch out there and hear you and say that he will wear it on the show?
But may be the wrong word as well. It is.
I think there's a solid gold guarantee that he will wear it.
I think there is. Oh my life. It's a GIMP mask. There we go.
Oh.
It is a PVC.
Of all the days that somebody could give you a GIMP mask to wear,
well,
today is probably one of the worst.
Yeah, it is. But to be fair, the day of the Bash wasn't particularly brilliant either. So.
Well, from the videos I saw it, the weather looked gorgeous.
Oh, God, no. Look.
I know.
I can't. Oh, there's the eyes.
His face doesn't fit in it properly.
Oh, there you go. I didn't realise there was space left for me ball gag.
Oh, no.
I'll have to go and hunt that out a bit later. Anyway.
Bring it.
Put glasses back on. Actually, there you go. Matches.
Madden, can you host? Because I can't see the frigging dock.
They're in business.
Oh, man. That's been on for like 20 seconds and it's already seriously hot. Helen, thank you very much. I'll never wear that.
Sharon!
In public again.
Sharon, however. We'll be living in it. I better not leave it there, because one of the kids will probably be wearing it in the morning.
And Mac Best in the chat room says, what a shame he already has one. I heard.
I've got one of those, and I've skied down the Val d'Isère from the top to the very bottom, which is about 5 miles in one of those.
In a GIMP mask?
In just that?
It's a video of it as well, actually. I'm just giving it to you lot, because it'll appear online, but it's
I'll bring it down with me tomorrow, then, and you and Carly will have a matching pair. Because it's not fair to leave Carly out, is it?
It goes very well with the with the top, Ewan.
Oh, man.
Oh, blimey. Now the video's...
Oh, hang on. People are starting to tweet out pictures. Oh, no. That's just
too
not,
late.
That's just not right.
Too late.
That's just not right.
You wait till the video goes out.
who's looking at the door?
Nice one, Neil.
Right. The week in tech. The week in tech. It's been a fantastic week for crap stories, it has to be said. The first one that we've got here is that Russians are proposing a ban on bad language on social networks.
Tolska, that's what I say.
Isn't
what do you expect? See, one of these, behind the communist regimes, behind the Iron Curtain, slashing down, cutting off access to the internet. We don't... Oh, hang on.
Hey, what?
It's been cut off on you, Carl. Don't take the red flag in vain. There's somebody at the door.
Oh, that'd be
Carl Madden.
That'd be Carl on the floor then.
Not funny, Ellis. Oh, am I frozen?
Yeah, no, it's alright, it's not your fault. It's Ellis's. He's
Ellis is a Russian spy.
Absolutely.
Ellis has been sent in to disconnect Carl so that he can't slug off the Red Country.
Whereas you and I, Steve, we can continue swearing in Russian.
Oh, what's your favourite swear?
Is Carl back yet? Yeah, he's back. It's all right. Hey, it's all right.
His dog.
Ellis came in to say Ellis came in to say good night, and on the way out, inadvertently yanked all the Carl's laptop off my bench. So the sooner that DHM sends me through his MacBook, the better, or his Mac Pro, Mini.
Did you get my rant before I got cut off?
No, yeah. Where did you get up to?
I don't know. I say it's typical, like, behind the Iron Curtain, these, like communist, fascist sort of, like, dictatorships that decide to censor the internet, not like us in... Oh.
Dude, you got to choose. You can't have a communist and a fascist behind the Russian
Curtain. Well, why not? Keep them guessing.
Is the Iron Curtain still going?
No, but, we'd never do this sort of thing. We'd never censor the internet, would we?
Iron Curtain were a great band. They're still going.
Who were?
The Iron Curtain. And an amazing drummer.
Were they a real band?
Actually played drums for Stevie Wonder once.
It's true.
There we go. I shall have to investigate their oeuvre.
I wouldn't like to see Stevie Wonder on a set of drums.
Probably pay a better than you.
University of Texas students have managed to... That's true. A University of Texas students have managed to send a really big yacht, something like 50 million quid's worth of stuff... off track using the GPS hack. Apparently it's with permission, though, so it's not just like a student prank. It's the real McCoy. But £80 million yacht, that's what it was. They did a GPS spoof. I think this is quite a worrying story. I know it's proof of concept, but I don't know if they had... whether they had to have like a real-time access, or whether this was just a pure... I know who you are, I know where you are... but I can hack my way in without worrying about too much else.
But wasn't this just the plot of Tomorrow Never Dies?
Was it?
Yeah, when they're sending the ships off course by giving them false GPS information and trying to cause a war.
I don't recall any James Bond films with a plot. Oh, you've got me there, mate.
You're clearly not watching it hard enough.
No, I mean, I thought it was interesting. Never mind.
Well, actually, if you think about it, it's how hard can it actually be to spoof GPS? All you need is a stronger localised signal than what's coming off the satellites, and who's to know that it's not correct? It's, as long as you get enough of them to make it believable, you could really cause a lot of trouble.
Just saying how they did this? Because you kind of touched on it there.
That's how I'm guessing they did it.
Yeah, they're basically... mirrored the local satellites that were broadcasting to the ship at the time, and then slowly just increased the broadcasted the same signal as those, and slowly increased it so that they were broadcasting more stronger signal of the fact that you were close to this particular satellite. So that then they could say, well, actually, this satellite is now moving to the left. You need to now move to the right. It could cause havoc for people going up the M1 suddenly say, turn left here, and everyone turns left.
it's frighteningly easy to do.
Well, shipping's even worse, because they're in lanes, just the same way as cars are, but they're more. There's nothing holding them in, like white lines or common sense. You know, if it says move left and it's on an autopilot, then it moves.
Now, I don't know much about planes. Do they use GPS?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean, this is a system that's a network that's been thrown up by the US government military. They own it, and they can desensitise it and improve it as they choose. So it's got fairly stiff, sophisticated software already, but if you can spoof the signal, you'd have thought they'd have put a bit more in where you couldn't.
Well, you say it's sophisticated software. Actually, it's not very sophisticated at all. It's a cesium clock and a bunch of serial data. I think it was Steve was saying, that it was... all you're doing is rebroadcasting and then drifting it slightly, just changing some of the numbers. They're not going to know. They're not. It makes it completely transparent. And if all it's receiving is serial data from a source which is not encrypted or anything, it's very easy. It's frighteningly easy to spoof.
Now, I'm missing the big picture here.
Which is?
We've talked about ships. We've talked about planes. What about the blinking ramblers? All those people going for a nice country walk. somebody could make them walk round in circles and they don't believe it and they end up walking miles and miles and miles out of the way and they get to the pub later.
You've just got to say, you're sitting one night watching the TV and the doorbell goes and you answer the door and someone says, you can't take our style.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I'll tell you what, this is really good. Have you ever done geotagging?
Geotagging, and you spoof it.
You go to find a freaking box, and you never bloody find it, or you find it after about 3 hours of searching through brambles, and you've got scratches all the way up to your shoulders, and then you find the box, and there's nothing in it.
My wife says geocaching, it ruins a good walk.
I thought you said geotagging.
The scammers, come on, start GPSing their own signals.
Absolutely.
I thought you said geotagging. I was thinking of criminals just having a little device that lets them go anywhere they like.
You see, that is a really good idea. If you can carry your own satellites around with you so the police don't realise you're down the pub.
Sarah, are we keeping you up, mate? I'm sorry.
No.
All right. You were about to go there, I thought.
No.
Scientists have developed a smart tooth. I don't know which of these is the smart tooth, but the smart tooth will tell your doctor if you've been eating or drinking too much. You're toast, neighbour.
Well, Madden's on the show as well, you know.
And apparently smoking as well. It'll detect smoking.
And Sarah's had it.
Download data.
Mine's just going to say beer, pizza, curry, beer, 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 curry, pizza, beer.
Yeah, yours is going
to
be checked.
Yours will try and escape, Carl. I can't take it anymore.
That's what my teeth are trying to do now.
That's true.
Yours is going to be checked every week for faults because everyone goes, no one would live like this. No one would live like
How
this.
Can he still be alive?
How does it communicate, by the way? Is it through Bluetooth?
It better be. Well, it's got to be micro USB, hasn't it, to comply with the European Union?
That's true.
Bluetooth, very good, mate. I didn't think he's got that.
That's a real tech geeky joke, that, isn't it? But what's his finger to plug into Bluetooth or USB?
Might be lightning.
Ow.
Could be Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt, yeah. Thunderbolt tooth. That's a James Bond film.
Yeah. You wouldn't use a plaque book air, would you? Oh!
Thank you, Leonard
Not
Sachs.
Not enamoured with that one at all.
A court has banned a bloke from publishing his exploit for a luxury car that he's discovered. This is Volkswagen have managed to silence a scientist who's found an exploit which lets him hack in and take control of the vehicle. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Depends if you own the car or not.
Well, is this a proof of concept, do you think, or is this a real doability?
Well, there was a video a little while ago, wasn't there? Those two hackers sitting in the back of the car, hacking the controls.
Yeah, but they got physical access to it, and they were... it wasn't particularly good Wi-Fi network anyway. Apparently that was an unlocked Wi-Fi network. But it's wirelessly lock-picking vehicle immobilisers. Is the trait that he's found.
The issue is, because more and more functionality is being built into the little handset, that you can start your engine with the, you know, you can open the boot, you can do all these things with your car just by pressing a button on your handset. If you can hack that...
You can do it with your iPhone, can't you?
Yeah. Well, that's a bit frightening. I mean, to be honest with you, maybe I'm a bit of a Luddite, but even electric power steering frightens me a little bit. When you've got a pipe with hydraulic fluid going through it, and it's a nice thick pipe, and it's been designed and engineered and welded to work, and it's a sealed unit, and you kind of think, well, power steering, it works because of physics. Electric power steering, if it's a button and it goes through a circuit into a computer, into another, you know, if there is a non-point-to-point link between your turning of the steering wheel and the action of the wheels, there is a liability that it could go wrong, and that worries me. It does.
Yeah, but that would be fail safe, though, wouldn't it?
But that's how planes work as well.
How does steering fail safe?
Well, it would cut the power if it lost connection.
So you're saying that there is a physical connection between your... there are no cars that have no connection, the drive-by-wire. There are no cars that have no connection between steering wheels.
I don't know about that. I'm sure there's been concepts of cars with drive-by-wire, but what I'm saying is, if you've got anything that's electronic circuit based, there's usually redundant circuits. So it's got to have a secondary circuit, and then it also relies on positive signal from the safety system of the steering wheel. So if it doesn't get the positive safety signal, it would go into an emergency mode and shut down.
Yeah, they have to have these safety mechanisms in there, otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to be on the road.
Well, if you go into like things like guarding of machinery, if you've got a critical guard where death would occur, you have to have a secondary redundant system which operates in parallel. And if either of the systems fail, there'll be a redundant system. And if both of the systems fail, the device is looking for, or the drive of the machine is looking for positive connection of the safety circuit. And if it loses both, it just shuts off.
But hack would override that.
No,
if they get in,
it can't be.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it? If there is any kind of connectivity to all those complex systems, or I mean, I've seen the brain of a car. The brain of a car is a box which has been resin coated, sealed, so nothing can get in, nothing can get out. There are no user serviceable parts inside, and if it breaks down, they'll charge you £650 for a brand new one.
Which is kind of sad, really, because the brain of the car should be the driver.
Well, yeah. But it's not.
I think they call it the management information system or something like that, don't they, normally, rather than the brain, because, as you say, that would imply that...
As I say, the first thing your AA man does when he gets to your car, if it's broken down, is find your USB socket and plug his laptop in.
Right, scratch his head first.
Oh, that's true.
Readjust his trousers.
Then he'll say, have you put petrol in it?
It's the it's the roadside suck. What's wrong, you think?
This, isn't it?
I've never had that in a lay-by.
Oh, dear me. Oh, moving on. Christ, I'll go back to Paul's jokes at that rate. I haven't read this story, so I hope someone else has. Microsoft wants to be removed from Google.
Yeah.
What the hell's that to do with?
They hate each other.
They gave Google a load of takedown notices under DMCA, and someone accidentally posted in one of the sites to be taken down as like google.com, because they just cut and pasted it and stuck it in the wrong column.
Oops.
Oh dear.
And that was it.
Is someone going to do a song called DMCA? They should.
Thing is, it happens a lot. And someone like Microsoft, obviously Google said, like, we noticed they'd done it, so we didn't bother implementing it. But it happens a lot, apparently, because if you're a smaller company and someone levels the DMCA takedown notice against you, you're screwed, because they just do it. Because they don't have to prove at the time that you're actually doing it.
Right.
Okay. They just take you down.
So it's cock-up?
It was a cock-up, yes.
Right, okay.
Stuart, also, they hate Google.
Stuart in the chat room is pointing out that we're misogynist pricks, because he said, evening AA man, don't they have AA girls as well?
AA women.
He said girls.
Good evening, AA person.
They obviously don't have women, and the AA girls carry cigars and cigarettes. it was, yes, somewhat sexist of you, James. And last but by no means least, apparently, lawmakers who have come down on the side of the NSA get twice the quantity of defence budget for their re-election as opposed to those who come down against the NSA.
I love governments.
Isn't that amazing? What a coincidence. You know, who'd have thunk it? The world's full of corrupt politicians. And
they've all got access to our data.
Guido Fawkes is right. And they've all got access to our data, yeah, so they know their electorate. Alternatively, though, they could get more information if they just went to the local libraries and looked on the electoral roll. Or signed up to 192.com, which is good enough. James, are you going to tell me what the E stands for in your name?
What, the middle name?
It's not Endeavour.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if it was? No, it's...
No, it really wouldn't.
Extreme.
It would have been great after you'd left school, yeah.
Elwood. It's an old family surname.
Elwood.
Elwood.
That's cool.
If I was called Jake Elwood Hart, that would be perfect. Because then I'd be both the Blues Brothers.
Jake Elwood Hart, absolutely. That's a cool middle name, once you leave school.
Once I leave school. Yeah. I mean, come on, no, having the surname Hart at school is bad enough.
Yeah.
If anyone is just watching the video, can I just ask for Paul to move his camera just a little bit closer to his face?
And he's frozen.
Just, oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit. No, you're all right. There you go. Just lean back a bit, dude. There you go. There we go.
Do see? A Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying to get some light.
He has got a neck. I thought, based on the fact we were kicking the shit out of the Aussies in the cricket, we'd start with an Australian story. The Australian government has taken the lead in stopping companies from price gouging based on geography. Geo-loading of prices, unquote, is the phrase. And Australia has allegedly legislated that they are going to put a stop to it. So Adobe and all the other companies, Apple and so on, that charge more because of geolocation, are no longer going to be able to do
that. I'm trying to remember I think we played a bit of a video, or we saw one a months back now, where wasn't there a convention with Adobe I think it was either in Australia or New Zealand when they were trying to challenge Adobe about why everything costs so much more in Australia. And Adobe just sidestepped the issue and sidestepped the issue. And so if the Australian government have picked up on that and actually doing something about it, well, fair play to them. Well,
isn't it great that governments actually do positive things about the internet and software and tech rather than just silly things?
To be fair, we've got the EU, Steve, and they come down hard.
They make up for it big time.
However... I've got a problem with the EU, not on the fact that they don't do great stuff, because they do try and do great stuff, but the implementation of it is lost. They come up with a resolution, and then the member states do absolutely sweet FA. That's the
do what they want anyway. Unless they're the UK, where they just try and play it by the book.
No, they don't.
The way they're planning to do this is they're not actually going to reduce the money, but they're going to allow their citizens to get around... DRM and stuff like that, and actually publish and help them do it.
Good on them. So that means proxy tunnels and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they can get their content from further abroad, so they don't have to pay the Australian money. They can pay the US prices, for example, and then just tunnel that content to their machines.
How are they going to get around the issue of your credit card isn't from a British bank, an American bank, it's an Australian bank, therefore we'll charge you full price for Australian, or does that not come into it?
That one I don't know.
Is there an equivalent of a VPN for credit cards?
It's called theft, I think.
Is it?
Yeah,
some
Russian steals
your credit card.
If you know
someone in another country, you can use, if they give you permission, you can use their address. That's one way of doing it.
I mean, PayPal has international borders as well, as far as I can tell. I mean, if you buy something in dollars on PayPal, they do this currency conversion for you.
They're not too bad these days. I mean, they used to have horrific currency rates, but they're pretty good at the moment.
Mm.
Not bad at all. And Steve, I mean, you've been on holiday where there's a load of Russians, so in a couple of weeks you should find out how that works.
What, you mean my bank account will be completely empty?
Yeah.
Well, Spligosh in the chat room says, and they will own the content. I've not really got as far as that. I mean, the government will buy the licenses? I don't really understand what you mean by that.
No.
No, I was saying about they will not be allowed to put DRM stuff on the content that they sell in the country.
So they can resell it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Well, they can put copy protection, but they can't do geographical-based copy protection.
No, they're saying because they'll be allowed to sell the content on, they can't lock it down either.
Oh, that really is quite good.
So it's a bit like in France. Is it in France where you're not allowed to have locked phones?
So Spligosh is saying, and they own the content, are they saying that there will be no licensing, there will be ownership of the physical software? I'm asking Spligosh to say yes or no. I mean, basically, from what he's saying there,
Spligosh has read the document.
No, Spligosh has obviously got more. I don't know if you're in Oz. If you are, sorry, mate. Basically, the understanding would be there from the statement, if I'm interpreting it right, is that now you license a piece of software for its use, whereas what is being suggested is once you if there's no DRM on it, once you hold it, you will own it. And Pligosh says, yes, that's what's my understanding. So there you go.
That's going to be awesome. The place to buy content, isn't it?
I want an Australian credit card. Anyone help me out? I'm good for it, honest.
But, of course, Australia is also a place. I thought it rang a bell for me, but I think they've been one of the pioneers about the internet pornography filters, and they've got a rating system and everything over there already. So... maybe they're ahead of the UK government in terms of digital legislation.
Maybe, but I mean, the old New Zealanders have been pretty draconian over the DRM thing and the Kim.com stuff and all that kind of thing. So the fact that Australia's come down on this side I don't think it's a DRM open internet issue more than it's actually just them saying...
It's a price-fixing issue, I think.
It's a price-fixing issue, exactly. Yeah. We don't want you ripping off our citizens.
Splimgosh is just pointing out in the chat room that he met you at the bash, Ewan.
Yeah, I don't... Well,
but,
if he used his real
name...
credit,
though, Ewan, you probably didn't introduce yourself as Mr. Splimgosh.
Thanks, mate.
If you don't have a T-shirt saying Splimgosh on, you're not going to be recognised.
I wasn't particularly well that Saturday either. I was suffering bad. Yeah. I can't tell you what I did on the Sunday. But there's a piece of my carpet won't be the same colour ever again. Have we done that story, or do we want to talk any more about it?
I think it's dead now.
Dead, right, okay, moving on.
Just so I'm learning, why do Australia pay more than everyone else?
Because
that's the thing, isn't it? They're saying there's no reason for them to. Once they take into account, like, shipping costs and import taxes, it's still far higher than it should be. So they're just saying, like, you're gouging us.
Yeah. In the UK, we pay the dollar price in pounds for exactly. stuff which is available in America. We should, but right, time for us to kick up a fuss.
Oh, yeah. God, you can't expect the UK government to stick up for the people, do you?
No, I've just got to leap in here for one second and just be fair and objective. Don't forget that the price that you see on American websites for the software that you're buying does not have any sales tax in it.
But it shouldn't double the price either.
It is sales tax free, and it is your responsibility in the States to declare the sales tax and pay it to the state where you purchased it, i.e. your own state. In the UK, all the prices that you see are VAT inclusive, probably, and therefore there's 20%. Aye.
Carl.
Who's got a woman there?
Carl.
Not me.
Not me.
That's you. Is that you, Paul?
Yeah, I've got a woman wandering around.
Oh, I've got a woman.
You're in the den. There's VAT on the prices that you see in that. So there's 20% of it before you even begin, and then add a bit of gouging.
It's not going to account for the difference, though, Ewan, because, I mean, they're paying about 10% tax.
Well, if you look at the prices of Apple stuff, it's not a million miles away.
Mm.
Just an example. The price that you pay is not a million miles away. In fact, in some cases, it's actually fairly good on the exchange rate. So there is that to consider. A bill for internet reform may end up in the UK having some of its good points being lost because of the furore over ISP porn filtering. This is to do with the stuff we talked about last week with Claire from Devizes and all of the things that Barry was talking about. And my story won't come up, so I have no clue what it's about. But effectively, what they're saying is that there's an awful lot of good stuff that's wrapped up in it. Things like bill shock and tech firms pressuring people and gouging on pricing and that kind of stuff will all be lost because everyone will focus on the porn element of the bill, which is going to take in Cameron's ISP filtering bit. And there's also a thing in there about as well that an awful lot of positive services like sexual health advice and all that kind of stuff is going to go through the porn filtering ban as well as by default.
But we knew that. We said that last week. We said that's going to happen, unfortunately. When the ban comes down, that's going to happen as well. And nuisance calls and stuff, there's laws in place to stop nuisance calls now. Why do I need another one?
But they don't work.
Exactly. Do you think this one will?
Well, no, good point.
Yeah. It's just saber rattling, that's all it is.
I'm not listening to you. I'm really happy because I got a text today that said I'm going to get thousands of pounds because I've got unclaimed debt.
Really?
What?
Yeah, do you not get these texts? Please contact us because we believe you are owed thousands of pounds. Please reply yes or no. Type yes. And
I got one for the mis-selling of insurance thing.
That's the stuff that really annoys everyone and wastes everyone's time.
Yeah, I apparently won 280 million on some lottery in the Netherlands.
Oh, lucky you.
I know. Well, yes. I thought, fantastic.
What are you doing here?
I obviously have a very effective spam filter because nothing is up in my.
Oh, me.
No, these are texts.
Nothing at all.
No, the one that
James gets no spam.
The one that's
I get no emails.
The one I find really offensive is the one where, like, if you've had an accident in a car, so 2 years ago I crashed my car. Every week, 2 to 3 calls. Was anyone injured in the crash? You do realise you could sue. Well, based on the fact it was my car shoved in his bonnet, I don't think, or in his boot, I don't think I've got anything to sue for, mate, so I'd move on if I were you. And sometimes that abbreviates down to something that's far more.
Less sure, syllables. To the point.
Yeah, exactly. That's what got me my death threat the other year. So, those are the ones that really
those ones where your phone contract's going to end and you get, like, multiple phone calls saying that your contract's going to end and can they do you a better deal? Because I always get those kind of at the end of a contract.
Now, they stopped when I moved to 3. I used to get them with O2 and I got them with Vodafone, but as soon as I moved to 3, they all stopped.
Can I give you two tips?
Go on.
Two tips for the neighbour desk. One tip, If somebody rings you up like that, just say, no, this is a corporate account. My company pay for this account. And therefore, they'll just take you off the things completely because they realise that your company's in control of your account. Whether it's true or not, just lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
I present them a kebab shop when they phone.
I stole this phone and somebody else is paying for it. I've got no idea.
Less effective but more entertaining, Paul.
Second tip.
Wait, let's get the good tip. That was a good tip, Steve. For number one, that was pretty good. So two, come on, bring it on.
It's a lot better.
Go.
When you ring up, this is on the No Agenda podcast, so I've got to credit them. When you ring up the, when you put on hold and you ring up a service, British Gas or whatever the company may be, and they put you on hold saying, a customer service consultant will be with you as soon as we can. We're working on your call. If you randomly say swear words, the worse swear words you can, the better. You will be put through an awful lot quicker because the computer that listens to everybody as they're ringing through wants to treat distressed customers quicker than customers that are quite happy. And I've tried this on three occasions and it does work.
Did you do it in Russian?
No, not Russian swear. But you have to be careful, though, because sometimes I've actually half swore when the lady comes in. Hello, Mr. can I help you? They come through really nice, expecting you to be, like, really, you know, Mr. Aggregated, etc. But it's just like, I was just wondering if you could blah, blah, blah.
So you've done this and it works, you think?
Yeah, it does.
So when you go on hold, you've got to start swearing like a sailor.
No, when you ring your bank or ring your...
When you're in queue.
We
are trying to deal with your call. Then just unleash the swear word ballistics.
You need a control for this, don't you? You need someone who joins the queue exactly the same time as you to find out if you do make it quicker. That needs scientific proof.
When we do that experiment, can I be the sweary one?
as if you wouldn't be.
Did you hear, I
read an article, I don't know if you read this one, I think it was Dan Sumption, I love his tweets because they're very insightful and he picks up some information from all over the place. This guy, somebody watched him put his PIN number in, basically skimmed his card.
Mm.
And when he reported the thing to the bank, now they gave him a call to say, we've noticed some stuff, basically they followed him home and they knew where he lived. And then they gave him a call because they knew it was number one. So we found some unusual activity on your account. Give us a call back when you've got the cards and make sure you've still got them. Then because they initiated the call, they hung on the line and they played dial tone down at him. So when he rang his bank, he wasn't ringing his bank. They made the phone sound like it was ringing and they picked it up and got even more information off him. Now that is a wicked, horrible scam.
Yeah, I've heard that. In fact, it was featured on a TV programme I saw the other day.
Wow.
Can't remember what it was, but where they were talking about...
It's the fact
about,
that you, when you think
like
you're
that.
Dialing somebody and they are... That's because always, if I receive a phone call, I say, can I call you back to make sure that you're genuine? But if they're doing that's really nasty.
Wow.
I just ignore all calls from my bank.
And that's why you're in the trouble you're in, Carl.
I tell you what I do,
which I'd be interested in anyone else does. I ignore phone calls to my landline now. My landline now gets phone calls, and if I pick up, I can guarantee it's somebody selling me something.
Yeah.
So I just literally don't pick up the landline.
Landlines are irrelevant.
If it's family, they'll contact me on iMessage or FaceTime or something like that.
Really? Well, we actually had our phone out for from last Tuesday until Sunday. And it started to make me think, why do we need the landline?
You don't.
Because we used it for everything. We used the mobiles and Twitter and Skype, you know.
I was going to say, my whole family's on GIFGAF now, and we can make free phone calls to each other. You know, there's no point in using the landline because that costs money and GIFGAF doesn't.
To be honest,
if somebody phones my landline, I know it's somebody who does not know me. How mad is that?
Well, yeah, but to a certain degree, I mean, we're only keeping our landline for the purposes of elderly relatives and parents because they won't ring. I mean, Sharon's mum and dad are pretty good at texting and ringing on the mobile. It's only my parents that would ring the house phone. And because my dad's old and not particularly well at times, it's, you know, I'm not going to get rid of it just yet, but there's a time in the future where there won't be a house phone here.
There is also something else to bear in mind. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I've also heard that apparently, if you don't have a landline phone, credit reference agencies mark you down.
Oh,
really? Right.
Well, that's just so old. That's almost as bad. And this is a real bugbear of mine, is that when people say, have you got a copy of a recent bill? Well, no, I get most of my bills electronically now. I don't get paper bills. I've got some from the water board from the last quarter of a year. Is that
don't you get them faxed to you?
I could print one out for you, no. But then again, I could make it up.
No, I mean, if you try and rent a car without a utility bill in your hand, you ain't getting one.
But if you don't get a utility bill, how do you do it?
I went to their credit. I went down and I went to Thrifty to get a car, and I didn't choose Thrifty. It was one that was given to me by a rental site online. I didn't choose them. Don't judge.
I've heard of Thrifty. Is it like
a car's a car?
They're actually pretty good. The car's quite decent. They do vans as well, and they're not too bad. But I went in and I got the bitch from hell, who was probably wrong time of the month, as well as and hadn't got a present from her father, Satan. She was not a pleasant lady at all, and she just walked off when I said, "But I can't do that." Said, well, all right, you can't have the car, and walked away from me. So I ended up coming back to get what documents I could, and I went back to the place, and I got a guy who was a lovely bloke, and he said, yeah, she's a bit of a pain in the arse. And I said, okay, fair enough. Here's what I've got. And I gave him a utility bill. He said, it's not in the last 6 weeks. I said, I don't get a utility bill every 6 weeks. I get one every 3 months. Plus, also, I've only got electronic ones, and this is the last one that I got that's a physical copy that I can physically bring and show you, and it's 6 months old. There isn't anything else. So, well, we'll charge you anyway because you paid the money already. I physically cannot give it you. If you do that to me, that will be the worst mistake you can possibly make in your life. And in the end, to his credit, he said, okay, fair enough. And they took... But I had to bring me a birth certificate.
Do you know what? You were almost in the position of saying at one point.
What?
Honoshno na tina na to no.
Chotoy has so... Chotoy has ahoy.
If there's any Russians listening and that's in the least bit offensive, which I don't think it is because these two don't sound like they can speak any Russian whatsoever with a convincing accent, I apologise. Were we doing any stories of the week's technology or were we just bullshitting there?
That was about stupid proposals,
about calls, unwanted phone calls, that's, you know.
Yeah, but I thought Ofcom had to deal with that.
Well, Ofcom have issued a report today, which is really kind of ludicrous, some of the stuff that they've put in it. The average house in Britain has a tablet. The average house in Britain has a tablet. So all the houses that are not in the average on the bell curve don't have tablets.
I'll tell you what, on the flight over to Turkey, every blinking person had an iPad. It was unbelievable. It was
including you.
Yeah, well, I and my two kids were going for it. But I thought we got two iPads with the two kids, and I thought I'm going to be the one, you know, the geek, all the rest of it. Every other kid had an iPad.
But I mean, you are Mr. iPad, though, Steve. I mean,
but every other person was exactly the same.
Can I check something before I say this?
Hello, Paul. I didn't know you were here, mate.
Do you take pictures with your iPad when you're out and about?
Oh, those pictures.
Yes, Paul.
Because taking photos with iPads is cool.
I have rage every time I see someone taking a photo with an iPad.
Why?
Thank you, Paul. I agree with you.
Yes, absolutely. So why?
I'm being sarcastic.
It's what phones are for.
It's a decent 8-megapixel camera.
And you get a really good... You can frame it so well because you can actually see the full-size
picture.
It's
far easier.
I'll tell you what is even worse. Is when you see at a pop concert people holding their iPads up filming
that's
the act
outrageous.
On stage. That is absolutely evil.
It's got
sadder.
A
do you know what
it's got a
do you
wide
know what's
grip
even worse.
Well,
I stand here now and I admit that I have run with my iPad as well.
Taking pictures.
Scissors.
What?
In fact, I've done 125 miles of running in London in the past 4 months or so. And not one person. And I watch every person watch me as I run past them, and I watch them, and I don't know if they recognise that I'm running with an iPad.
Are you watching the iPad? Is that what you're saying? You got the latest episode of Top Gear on there or something?
No, I run because it's got the Nike app thing.
Right. Okay.
Wouldn't it be a lot easier to track my GPS position? Wouldn't it be
nobody laughs at me? Not that I see.
Steve, wouldn't it be a lot easier to put it on your iPhone and stick that in your pocket.
I don't have an iPhone.
What?
He's got an iPhone. He's got a BlackBerry.
I have to say,
a worse sin than photography on the iPad has been mentioned in the chat room, and that is portrait video taking.
Video is a capital offence.
It should not do it. Every time you hold it portrait, it should just come up with, even in the words Russian for the Russians.
Don't be stupid. Well, no, to be fair as well, though, Vine has kind of released portrait video a little bit. Because Vine portrait videos, because they're viewed in a browser, are less offensive. They're not good, but they're less offensive.
They're all offensive.
Taking pictures portrait.
No, it's video. Portrait video.
Oh, yes.
It's a capital offence in my book.
Yeah, okay. I see what you mean.
Come the revolution, sister. But there is nothing wrong with taking video and images with an iPad or an iPhone. I mean, I shot some 1080p video footage at an air show that I put on YouTube, and everyone went, wow, great camera work. How did you hold the camera still? It was an iPhone. It was dead easy.
Yeah.
It was fine. No problem at all. Facebook is going into mobile gaming. The firm is looking to issue a pilot for publishing a series of games. They're looking for developers. Mm. Now, they've got, don't forget the results came out last week from Facebook. Good level of turnover and good level of profit on it. And mobile is at 40%, so this is a logical move, but my question would be, they're not going to get any traction, surely.
Well, my point of that one is, right, Words with Friends, perfect example of a game that started life on a mobile device. But if I'm sitting at my computer and I fancy playing Words with Friends, I can log into Facebook and play it. Now, there are a number of games which Facebook... This is why Facebook are trying to capitalise it, because there are a number of games which have a link into Facebook and work perfectly well. However, they're going to have to innovate and create new games for every possible... they've got to basically do a Zynga. And we know how badly Zynga's done over the last little while. And it's going to be really tough for them, because people will install the games on their mobile phones first rather than seeing them on Facebook. So, I think.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
So this is you're saying that Facebook are actually going to champion cross-platform gaming?
Well, they already do, but games made by other people.
Yeah, but what they're saying is they want them to make... They're going to share the profits with them. Because they're going to have... What? They're going to be standalone apps on your mobile device.
Developers.
So they're their own games. Because at the moment, most games, when you sign in, they want you to sign in Facebook. So they're making their own games? Is that what it is?
Yeah, they're talking about exploiting their own mobile gaming market with incentives for developers to develop for Facebook purely.
So I can get more Candy Crush Saga alerts on my Facebook stream.
Oh, for God's sake. I haven't played that game, and I'm really baffled. Because, I mean, you know, is it Bejeweled? I mean, the only thing I can think of, because Bejeweled is quite an addictive game, it has to be said.
Yes, I agree with that.
But Candy Crush Saga, is it better than Bejeweled?
No, it's rubbish. I can't get past level one. It's rubbish.
Does that say more about you or the game, though, Paul?
I get like eight a day, and... Oh,
Bronwyn.
I have no idea what you lot are talking about.
Well, Bronwyn, who is a lady who's been on around us for a while, East Coast girl on Twitter, she finished level 165 on Candy Crush today, and
she's got way too much time on her hands.
No, that was like 7 o'clock this morning UK time, so she'd been up trying to beat 165 since probably May.
How do you know that, Ewan?
What do you mean?
Was that what you spend your mornings doing? Searching the internet, find out what these young girls are doing?
No.
You won't be able to do that soon when that porn filter blocks in, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
Stalk watch.
I was chuffed. I thought you'd locked your place down last week, but it hadn't, so.
Steve, clear your history. Buy a new router, Steve. Change the MAC address.
I have no idea how old Bronwyn is, but I don't think she's young in the sense of being... young.
Yeah, you're worried now, though, aren't you?
But, no, the tweet she put out was like, yes, I've beaten 165, and it's like you're taking her forever to beat level 165. So, Paul, if you really are on level 1, you're shit.
I probably am. Someone tell me what it is.
What's level 1?
If I can find out at the end of this show what Candy Crush Saga is...
I can't even...
Describes you.
I'm going to find Candy Crush Saga. I'm going to start playing it. And I'll see how well I can get on. I won't take any notice of what you guys are doing. I'm just going to play the game.
James,
Ivan Corona, call
you on that. Cool.
Right.
Paul and I haven't even reached level one yet.
I'm going to get bored. It's like.
I need to find out what the wash your soap your mouth out with soap and water is in Russian.
It's all about the jelly, apparently, isn't it?
Really?
Yes.
Are the panel bashing tonight? Unquote.
From?
I don't know. I guess so. The European Commission is looking into a unified patent court. I'm glad I said that right. Allah friggin' Lulia. Well, the problem that you've got so far is that if there's a patent dispute, it's in the resident host nation. And therefore, anything that's decided in that court is applicable across Europe because of the unification and the Treaty of Rome. However, the costs and all the decisions are based on the local court. So therefore, the stuff that went on in Germany was instantly applicable across the whole of Europe over the Apple case with Samsung, despite the fact that, that other countries may have disagreed with it. So what they're talking about now is having a single patent court smack in the middle, and everything goes through there, and everything is then spread out to all the other nations. And I've got to say, hallelujah.
How would we feel about if it went one step further and became global?
Oh, yes. Wouldn't that be an interesting and very sensible development? We're living in a global planet. There's global markets.
Oh, I agree. That's the point where I was saying it. I mean, you know, it's this would be an interesting test of it, because where you do have, you know, issues between member states where maybe an EU-wide patent is granted, but it infringes a patent in a particular member state, you know, that's going to cause some local issues. As I think we've already seen that sort of thing. You know, there was some talk about with Apple TV being ITV, and obviously in the UK that would infringe a patent already existed, that already, or a copyright trademark that already existed in the UK.
But a single European court would have to take into account the member states' interests.
Of course.
Don't get confused between patents and trademarks, though.
Yes.
However, there's one small problem.
I was just using it as an example, Steve, that's all. I know.
Carl's got the curveball. Go for it, dude.
Unfortunately, it's one small problem. It says, however, the measure must be approved by the European Parliament and individual EU states in order to become law. So that's not going to happen.
No, I think that will happen. And the reason I think it will happen is because each member state is sick and tired of companies using their legal systems at their cost as their battlegrounds. And that's why it'll go through.
But it's not their cost, is it? They get the cost back no matter what. They get paid.
Who does?
The governing body, they always take their cut. They can even get it from the person who's making the claim or the people who have to pay out. They'll still get their cut.
The costs that are applied in courts, mate, are minuscule in comparison to real-time costs.
I know, but as I'm saying, they still get something. They won't get anything under the new stuff.
Well, no.
And also, you've got to be putting loads of people out of jobs and stuff, you know, in the law areas.
You've only got two judges in the whole of the UK who've got competence to rule on patent cases. Yeah. You've got to, I mean, it's a ludicrous system, and it costs millions and millions and millions to maintain a patent system here in the UK that what they get virtually nothing back from the companies that come and do battle on it. Nothing at all, almost.
And therefore, it completely favours those that have got the money to throw at it. You know,
like copyright.
Multinationals, yeah.
My faith in any sort of government body can work together with another government body is shot to hell recently.
No, I agree with that. There's no way. I mean, having said that, I've had a reasonably good experience with the DVLC. Thank you to the lady in the DVLC who rang me up and said, told me to do something that I found just completely wrong, but actually worked out to be the best thing possible. You're great. And I went down to them to write an appeals letter, and I said, what do I write? What do I write in the appeals letter? And the guy dictated what to write in the appeals letter so I'd win.
Good heavens.
They're brilliant. They're absolute. DVLC, love you. You're my pick of the week, no question, if we did those. Anything else you want to talk about? Do you want to do the Google Glass driver's fine thing, or do you want to do the Windows 8 neglecting my Instagram?
Can I do the Windows 8? Because that's a story I stuck in, because it was...
Go for it.
I'm pondering buying, in the next maybe 3 or 4 months, I'm pondering buying a new phone. And I saw the Ubuntu Edge on the Indiegogo thing, and I would absolutely love to be able to buy one of those.
Is that pricey?
Well, it's 750. Well, the the bid, so the investment has gone up to $750, which is a little bit more than I'm happy paying. I mean, 500 quid for a mobile phone, for a top of the range mobile phone, isn't actually too much to pay when it's just come out. However, unlike Kickstarter, it takes your money up front and then gives it back to you, and I literally haven't got the cash to pay for it. And so I thought, well, Android. I've done Android now. I've done iOS. I wonder if I'd try Windows Mobile, and then I thought Windows Phone 8. And I thought, I want to go through all the applications to find out whether or not I can use them. And then I came across this story whereby Microsoft haven't got an Instagram app. An Instagram, I mean, I, you know, love it or hate it, everybody's got it, and it's a way to socially share photos, which is de facto. Once it's gone, once it's done and dusted, people will stop using it, and hopefully they'll start using something decent like Flickr. But as it stands, I really enjoy flicking through people's Instagram photos just to find out where they've been, what they've been doing, as long as it's not cats or food. Anyway, it turns out that Instagram haven't made an application for Windows 8. However, they've got an API. So people have coded an application for Windows Mobile 8, but it doesn't conform to Instagram's specifications, and they basically recoded the back end to report it as spam. And so people have installed these applications, they're taking photos, now they can't share them with Instagram. And that's just kind of like the door's been shut on them. Instagram have said, well, we don't allow non-authorized software to post to our servers. What are you talking about? And in fact, the article I posted in the document, I'm just going to see if I can find it, has had a number of updates since with Instagram not so much backing down. Let me just scroll down to the bit with the updates. Bloody hell, my mobile. Do you know, this is Candy Crush bloody saga has slowed my phone down. Bastard thing.
Level 7. Thank you.
I'm up to... Oh, bollock. That's not fair. I'm only up to level 5. That's because I'm talking. You're going to have to start talking.
Focus, James. Focus, dude. Sorry. Focus.
So, anyway, an Instagram spokesman has confirmed... An Instagram spokesman said they recently implemented a change to the API. We've made an update to the system to fight spam to prevent future attacks and increase security, which has basically closed the door on any of these independent API developers. And then they said, well, the update didn't specifically target any particular app or platform, but still, screw you, Windows 8 phone. And they say the API appears to have been updated again, as instance users are reporting that pictures are now successfully uploaded to their accounts, but they're blocked from view to other users. So now they can take photos and upload them to Instagram, but they can't see other people's photos. So close!
The app that was on Windows 8, that was actually a preview app. You used to pay for that as well, didn't you?
Exactly. So you pay for someone to develop an application that is supposed to be like Instagram, and there are three or four of them out there, and then your money's completely wasted because Instagram say, no, you can't do it. But Windows, it means Windows Phone 8 is a poor cousin to the other phones because they don't have the buy-in from the applications that people are using. Do I want to be in this ghetto? Well, in some respects, I'm perfectly happy doing that. I mean, if there's an app.net, I'll happily talk to myself on Windrider until the cows come home. But you know, it's kind of I'm less and less tempted by it unless somebody says to me, "Yeah, go for it." So the Ubuntu phone, the Ubuntu Edge phone, if it comes out, if it ever happens, is still my kind of phone of choice as something which is distinctive and different.
I mean, are we suggesting then that social networks have a responsibility to include each platform?
I would say it would be unfair of them. Well, they're in there to make the money, aren't they? But they are missing out on potentially a large consumer base if they don't roll it out to those platforms. I mean, they obviously Instagram and therefore. Oh no, I don't think there are. I think there are people with Nokia Lumia phones and the other one, HTC 8.
Not the work. You know.
Well, that's true. But then. What hope have Microsoft got? They're still making phones. They've just come out with this new Nokia 1020. And what have they done? They've put a 41 bloody megapixel camera on it, which juts out the back to make it, well, not look like a phone anymore, really. It looks like a glorified camera.
Fort in the chat room says, my Trace phone was $14, which was $15 too much.
Harsh.
It's very interesting, though, because you've got Microsoft who... used to being the de facto standard on PC platform, and you know they're very much the also rants when it comes to phones. And
yeah.
it's you know you kind of it would expect a little bit more push from them to actually at least get all the major apps app developers to develop apps for their platform, because that's like you said, that's what's going to make people use it or not use it when they're so hooked with particular apps.
That's a good point, Sarah, because, yes, effectively, Microsoft have failed to garner the interest of, well, effectively, Facebook, because Instagram's owned by Facebook.
Sarah, if you're going to lie down for next week's show, could you at least move the camera a bit closer so it's not so obvious?
Then Microsoft has huge shares in Facebook.
Here's us all doing our camera technique, looking into the lens when we talk, and there's you fast asleep with a good Milton Boone.
Lying down.
Is that a lounge that you're on? Is that
it's the same chair I use every week. I don't know why.
We're going to pass.
Camera angle makes it look like I'm lying down.
We're going to say it's passing you off as that you've got a bad back at the moment, and therefore you can't.
I've just noticed online that Motorola have announced their Motor X while we've been on the air.
Oh, the Droid thing was today, wasn't it?
Yep, and apparently one of the big things about it is you can choose up to 18 different colours and various back textures for your on the MotorMaker website, which is going to be available later on in the month, to give you 500 different colour and texture combinations on how you make up your phone.
Yes.
And apparently it's going to be Google Now, quite heavy. So you can just talk to your phone and it'll bring up Google Maps.
And we all know how you feel about Google Now, mate.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Show us your Google Now location. Oh.
10 megapixel camera. Clear pixel RGBC camera, whatever that means. I have no idea. 4.7 AMOLED screen as well.
I don't know what the C means on the RGB. I get the RGB, but not the C.
Well, Can I ask Carl something? Because I know you're into Google Now, and I'm really interested by
that. Hello, right? I never knew you were here.
And obviously, it's not integrated into the iPhone very well. Would you be more interested if you had an Android phone that was more integrated?
If you get an Android phone, it's totally integrated because you just swipe up and everything's there. The iPhone doesn't have access to as many cards as the Google has.
And it is the one thing that makes me think about switching.
Yeah, you're not going to switch. You're in there. You're hooked. You can't get out.
I can get out.
You're more than just a number, maybe, but you're still hooked.
It's only a matter of time before Google implements all that on an iPhone anyway, surely.
Only if Apple lets them.
They restricted, though, on the iPhone. You know, when Google Now came out for the iPhone, I was really excited, but, you know, you don't get a lot of feedback from it. You know, it's restricted to the app alone, not to the phone, so...
No, it's good, though. It does do most of what the Android version can do. There's a few cards it's not allowed to do for obvious reasons, because it hasn't got the feelers into the OS, but it does pretty well what it's got. As long as you use other Google services, of course, which allow then feed into it. If you don't use the services, the experience is not there.
Yeah.
Right. Good word. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by Ye Olde Smugglers Inn.
What?
We've got a sponsor. Ev's down at Ye Olde Smugglers Inn, the guy that owns it. It's in a place in Sussex. I want to say Ashton, but I don't know if it is Ashton. I said it earlier on. He sent me 6 beers and 2 glasses. There we go. And I've drunk a couple of the beers, and they're all right. And
right.
The glasses are lovely. So we have officially got sponsorship from Ye Olde Smugglers Inn. There we go.
When are we going?
They've got rooms. You can follow them at Ye Olde on Twitter. And you can follow Ebbs at Ebbs124, I think it is, or Ebbs_124, or something like that. But I'll know exactly when he listens to this podcast, because there's 50% off for BTN listeners for all beer.
Oh,
there you go.
Lovely.
Over the bar.
I think we're going to have a show from there.
I'm lying, but when he listens to this podcast, I'll get a tweet, that's for sure.
Well, why don't we do it? Why don't we do a meetup in December?
Okay,
in the Christmas period.
No, we need to do a show from there.
Show would be cool at Ace Pub. Yes, we'll do a show at his pub. It is a long way. I mean, Aaron Claydon's the closest person that I know who listens, and he'd probably be at least an hour to it.
Where
to
is
this
it?
Place. It's right out past down Kenty, Sussexy that way.
Oh man, that's where my mum lives.
Fairly close to it. Then
everyone's got folks.
You got to cross the river, Sarah.
Exactly. I'm sure we could do a Christmas show there.
I'm
definitely up for that.
Right, we're in. We're going to do it, Ebbs. If you're listening, mate. This is it. We're coming down. We're going to overtake the pub. And all of those things can be involved.
Pevensey? I could walk there from my mum's house.
Are you sure you got the right place?
Is it Pevensey? No, actually, no. That's a different Smugglers Inn. Oh, man. There's too many Smugglers Inn. We're all going to be at a different one. Alfriston? Oh, is it Alfriston?
Alfriston, that's the one.
Between Eastbourne and Brighton. Yeah,
Alfriston.
No,
he's got a bed and breakfast as well. He's got accommodation.
I'm choosing a date. I'm booking a room now before the rest of you, you buggers.
It's Alfriston, and he serves good beer from what I can see from the taps and stuff, some of the pictures he tweets out and so on. But it seems like it's in the middle and nowhere.
Alfriston, no, it's easy to get to.
Lovely.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, I was going to go there the other week when I was in South London at Redhill. And it was still an hour and 10 minutes for me to get there from Redhill or something like that.
Well, the reason for that is because everyone drives so much slower down in Sussex.
21 blinking rooms.
Oh, has he? All right, we'll take the place over then.
We've got 21 rooms.
We're going to have a tweet up. We're going to go to Ye Olde Smugglers Inn.
That's including the kitchens, the toilets,
and
he doesn't know it yet.
And we're going to get 50% off all our beer. There we go. Yeah. And he's a member of Camera as well.
Oh, decent beer then.
10 consecutive years they've been in the Camera Good Beer Guide. There we go. So we'll have a tweet up there. That's it. Good idea then, Steve-o. We shall do that.
I can get it.
And this podcast is also brought to you by UK2.net. Craig left, as you know, after the bash. It was his last week, so he couldn't make it down to the bash. But he passed me on to a guy called Dave, who's down there. And I made contact with Dave this week and said, what's happening on? I know promises that Craig made, but are they your promises as well? And he said, we love you guys. We want to keep you on. Thank you for everything that you've done. Yeah. And thanks for all the support you give us, because we get a nice lot of business from you. Very kind. And also we love having you guys around. So for the foreseeable future, UK2.net will be hosting all British Tech Network stuff. And the thing is, we don't make any money. No one gets paid to come on the shows. No one gets paid to make them. We don't make any sponsorship from anyone. All that UK2 do is make sure that we don't have any bills. And pretty much the server that we've got with them is, it would cost me sort of £300 a month at the moment for all the services we get. So they pick up all our bandwidth, which at times can be pretty horrific, and they don't say anything, and we get all our domain names from them and that kind of stuff. And you too can get your stuff, anything for the web. They've got a great summer sale on at the moment. The actual offer codes that they've got for the summer sale are better than the offer codes that we can offer you. So get in there and sign up, use the summer offer codes. There's a thing called Website Builder, which is just fantastic. It's dead easy to use. You can have a website up and running with a shopping cart system and with a link through to your PayPal account in under 2 minutes. It's that good. Well worth looking at. Please use the link on our website, though. Go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, go through on the sponsors page, and then come back and use any of the offer codes that you can't get with the summer bonanza. But when that runs out, still come back and use our offer codes. They're right available all year round, but you've got to come through our site. That's the key. UK2, love you to bits, mate. Love you to bits. Thank you very much.
Tweet them to tell them you love them. UK2, yeah. At UK2.
We love you.
At UK2, we love them.
Yep.
Jimmy boy.
Hello.
It's the cool things. What do you got for us, pal?
I'm going to have to stop playing Candy Crush Saga for this bit.
Oh, you.
level 6, I see, yes.
When you say level 6?
Behave. The period.
Level 6? I'm at level 7.
You two will go to bed with no tea next week.
Right. I know that we've had these conversations about things you can plug into your telly, but this is remarkable. Sky have created a thing called Sky Now. And if you go to nowtv.com, it costs that? £10, and it connects to your Wi-Fi, Paul. And effectively it turns it into a Wi-Fi preview television. You get you've obviously got special offers, like if you pay £10, you can get the Sky sports services, or you can get £15 a month to get the movie services. But if you don't subscribe to those things, you've got a couple of little apps here and there. You know, you've got, I think it's not Spotify. I think it might be, it's TuneIn Radio, definitely. I think Spotify as well is on there. But anyway, for £10, and the guy who did the review said, it's about as much as an HDMI lead costs. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
I mean, that's good pretty
point.
Good.
Good point.
And what with the Chrome thing coming out in a few weeks' time, which is going to be $35 or sort of £30, I guess. Are we going to run out of HDMI cables into the back of our televisions? Because this looks really good.
It does.
Yeah, it's basically a Roku box, though, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's basically a Roku box. Someone was asking whether you can use the special secret commands on the remote controls of a Roku box. But still, £10 for a Roku box. Yeah. That's frightening.
And also, you can immediately program it if you want. You can put any kind of software on there if you want.
Exactly. I mean, that's, yeah. Whether or not Sky are making a loss, they must be making a loss in giving this away. But, yeah, that's not a bad deal. NowTV.com.
Very
good. What are you getting this for? Sorry, are you getting this for the ability to buy Sky for £15?
I have absolutely no intention of doing anything with Sky. I just like really cool stuff that's cheap.
Okay.
I mean, it runs on Wi-Fi. At the moment, what would be really great if it could deliver content from your personal network. But, you know, one step at a time, kids.
But it's got iPlayer on there as well, hasn't it?
It's got iPlayer, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. And Channel 5's catch-up service too. So, yeah, I put an article in the chat. Hopefully the show notes will have it, but there's a review of it at mediauk.com. Got a very good, great deal of respect for the guy who works there. Really good little box, and I'm very, very tempted to get one just to plug into the spare HDMI socket on my telly.
Good stuff, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Mr. Neighbour, talk us through your pick, dude.
Okay, here we go. Right. There's a small town in West Wales.
Sorry.
That town used to make 35,000 pairs of jeans every day, every week, for 40 years, employing 400 people. In 2001, their factory closed. Recently, they decided that four decades of know-how should be put to good use. That's why the Holt Denim Company was born, to get the towns making jeans again. Basically, this is a company that was set up in West Wales to make jeans. They have your jean. If you order jeans from them, an individual spends 12 days or so making your pair of jeans. It's a very posh jean company, basically. But if you go to the website, which is HITDENIM.co.uk, and sign up to their contact list, you get an email every so often. And when this email comes through to my website, my email, I love it, because their email is called Scrapbook Chronicles. And it's probably the best email I get about things going on around the web, things going on that are interesting videos, interesting books, interesting stuff. And it's really nice. Every time I look on, it's one of those emails that I get in the inbox, and it's really enlightening and encouraging. And so, for example, this email popped in. There's a video of an old piano that's been left in New York City streets, and it's a guy basically saw a piano that had been left in the streets and took photos every half an hour of somebody coming up and playing with this piano, and the photos are then put into a video with some music in the background. And it shows you the story of this piano of 20 hours on New York streets. And it's quite interesting, the result and the conclusion of the piano. But so anyway, that's the website. And if you sign up to their mailing list, then you get a really nice... I quite enjoy their email that they send out.
Have you bought a pair of their jeans then? Or
no.
Right. Are they beyond the price of mortal men?
Yes.
How much is a pair of jeans?
It's two sets of pairs of jeans. There's the normal denim and there's the posh denim. But basically, they're designer jeans. So they're like, I think it's 140 odd pounds for the normal pair and like 200 odd for the posh denim.
Do they do them in sizes for mortals as well, or only skinny gits?
Contact them. There's 12 women in this
at £120 for a pair of jeans. No.
Well, they spend each person that makes a pair of jeans spends 12 days making your jeans. And the other thing is, when they make your jeans, they take photos of each day of the jeans being created.
Good
and they
heavens!
Also, sorry.
Good heavens!
And they also sew there's a website that's created for your pair of jeans into the jeans with these photos attached. And what they say is take a photo of your jeans every 6 months or so, and it adds it to the website. So there's a website that are created for your pair of jeans.
Tamagotchi jeans.
What?
Tamagotchi jeans.
I like it because in West Wales there's not a lot of industry going on anymore.
But they aren't making jeans for £10 a day.
No, they're not anymore. They used to.
I thought they still made them.
Sorry, now they're making jeans, but they spend an awful lot longer making those jeans.
But that's if it's £120 and they take 12 days to make, that's a 10 days. They only make £10 a day per person.
No, but she obviously spends each day making several pairs of jeans, but she spent your pair of jeans as opposed to...
Okay. Well, okay.
The website is nice.
I will. Good tip, mate. Good, mate. Thank you. Next pick is going to be Sarah.
Yes, right. Now I'm going to sit upright. Cheers.
Yours is a reclining chair.
Yes, it is a reclining chair. Mine is a bit indulgent. I suppose it's good, really. It's a bit of fun. There's an app on Android called Lightflow Lite, which I found out about. And it's really cool because what it basically does is it allows you to change, set the colour of the LED that glows to different colours according to what notifications. So you can get it to glow a different colour for different notifications. And you can get it to flash them according to... So if you've got Twitter notifications and other email notifications, you can get it to sequence them in terms of... So that you can just look at your tablet or your phone and actually see exactly what it is without actually switching it on. Hmm. Yeah, it's a bit of fun. That's it. I've just had a lot of fun with it, so... Yeah.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you very much. Monsieur Madelon, what do you have for us?
Well, my one is Google Play, strangely enough. Now, Google Play have had movies for some time, but just this week they've also got TV shows now. So you can go and rent movies from Google, TV shows from Google. I think most of them are in HD as well, just by casually looking. So when I get hold of my Chromecast, I'll be able to stream TV shows now.
Will it work, though, when you get your Chromecast?
I don't see why it wouldn't, unless they're doing some weird region-blocking thing, which would be easy to get around anyway. But
where have you managed to get one from?
Betsy's going to bring me one over from the States.
Ah.
Yes.
Insider. But it's got to work, though, surely, on region coding and
Well, no, there's no region coding, is it? It's a HDMI connection, goes straight into your telly. Doesn't matter if it's power NTSC. That stuff's all like gone by the wayside now. Powered up by a USB, a mini USB cable, I think. So just plug that into any standard USB wall adapter or any normal USB port on something else, and it's powered up, ready to go.
Brilliant. Awesome, awesome.
Should work.
Superb. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Do you have anything for us, Mr. Wright? I know we jumped on you last minute.
Yeah, throw something in there.
Good, man. Go on, then.
Yeah, well, I posted up on the site yesterday. Copy.com.
Yes.
Another cloud service. You're probably thinking, another cloud service, but the one thing that it has over the others is you get 15 gig of cloud storage for free.
That's good.
And if you sign up and refer your friends... for every friend who signs up, they get an extra 5 gig. So they refer, they get 20 gig. And for every person you refer, they get an extra 5 gig. I've got up to, I think I'm pushing 40 gig at the moment. So if anyone wants my link, drop me a line. But the apps are great. The interface is great. Give it a go, because obviously Dropbox give you 2 gig for free out of the box. But... Copy give you 2 gig just for tweeting out. Absolutely fantastic.
15's a very, very usable amount.
Yeah, and so I'm up to 40 and I've not paid a penny yet, so...
Good.
What clients does it support? Does it support desktop clients?
Windows, Mac, Linux, Android and iOS.
Sweet.
We can't ask for more. Well done, mate. Yeah. Good pick. Excellent pick. My pick... I've got two things just to say. The first one's not a pick. It's just a cool thing. It's just the fact that it's out there. At the moment, Crucial have got 960 gigabyte SSDs for your MacBook Pro, come laptop, come desktop even, and that is £480, including next day delivery, which is a massive saving on what it was 12 months ago. I have one here. It's ready to go. I just need to get it installed in my laptop, and then I'll have a full 1.5 terabytes of SSD only.
Gosh.
So, I was going to ask you how the migration was going, Ewan.
I'm not going to migrate, based on the fact that my kernel is currently doing... my kernel task is currently running at 600% on the MacBook Pro. I'll be going for something else. Apparently it was indexing the drive, allegedly, and it will stop in the morning, but... yeah, right. My pick, my cool thing, is Sequence. It's available for Windows as well, I think, as... but basically, it's a time-lapse compiler. So if you've got a camera that shoots time-lapse for you, shoots every 2 seconds, a GoPro or a G9 or something like that, then you get all the images back, and there's free apps out there. Time-Lapse is another one that does it free of charge, and it's a good thing. I mean, it's an excellent, excellent compiler. But the problem is what it doesn't do is correct for light. So if you get a transition of the sun, or if you get some movement in shade, or a cloud goes in front of the sun, you'll get one image that dips, and then it'll come back up again on the other side. So you get a lot of flickering in time-lapse by nature. What Sequence does is it automatically looks at the frame before, the frame current, and the frame after, and it levels the flickering across all the frames that you've selected. So I took some time-lapse a few weeks ago, and I shoved it through time-lapse, and it was horrible flickering because it was done in a day when there was a lot of cloud passing in front of the sun. So I went to get something to solve it, and I found this on a forum. And Sequence, it's not cheap. It's $24.99, so you've got to really want to be using it for time-lapse, do a fair bit of time-lapse. But I've got to say the results from it are sparkling. It's levelled absolutely the exposure across the whole range, and it's one single movie now with a continuous exposure right the way through. It's worth the money. It does what it says on the tin, does the time-lapse, does the flicker fix. So, well worth the money.
That looks absolutely epic.
It does. It looks great. I mean, GoPros are great when they do the old 2 second exposure thing or the 1 second exposure thing. They look absolutely stunning. But generally speaking, as well, if you've got a problem with sky, you'll find that you'll end up with a very dark image all of a sudden if it just gets a little bit more sky than it's exposed for the rest of the movie. And Sequence will solve all of that and just level it across the board. And then once you've leveled it across the board, don't worry about fixing each individual frame, because Sequence will do that for you. Then put it in Final Cut Pro or something like that and adjust the levels manually like you would in Photoshop for a photo. It works just fine. And I'm going to buy Logic X this week and Logic 10 and see how that works. But I'll review next week.
That's an amazing piece of software for music makers. Really is.
It does. It just, the only thing that bothers me, because the functionality of it looks far better, but unless they've come out with some new loops and stuff like that, because the loops have now, the actual sounds and loops and tracks that are in there, they've used those throughout the whole of 7 and 8 and 9, and for that.
Well, if you consider they've got a whole new set of drummers, I mean, I think there is a massive library that comes with it, a huge library.
Yeah, it's like 30 gig or something.
Yeah, from what I'm told, the first time you use it, it starts downloading and you can't really do anything until, yeah, it's good. Apparently it's good.
That's where all those drummers went for the Olympic ceremony then.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Recording stuff for Logic.
Even the one from Bad Russian, what's it?
Quick question for you, Ewan.
Oh, go on.
What's your expected review? I know you haven't played with it yet, the new Logic. What's your expectation out of 10 for what it will be like out of 10?
Well, I think, from what I've heard, one of my pals at Apple told me straight away when it came out that it does a 6-gig bounce instead of a 2-gig bounce, which is a pain in the arse at the moment. You cannot make any audio track longer than 1 hour 25 minutes. Because anything over 1 hour 25 minutes, when it sends out the AIF file, it creates a file that's bigger than 2 gig, and it's just not capable of doing that. Well, the current one, the new one, is going to be 6 gig on the bounce, so that means you're going to be able to create 3 hours plus of music. The interface looks a lot more colourful and a lot well thought out. There's magnetic timelines, which they've pulled across from FCP, which looks fantastic. I think it'll be pretty. The only caveat I've got is the library. If the library's been updated and it's got a whole new load of jingles and effects and sounds, and you can take all the old ones from 9 and import them across, which you should do because they're just CAF files, then I think that's a really good buy at £200. Really good.
Your expectation out of 10 is?
If the truth is there of all the things that it supposedly does, then 8 out of 10 for an upgrade. Okay.
But so we'll tune in next week to see how that review changes.
Yeah, it might be 1 out of 10. We'll have to see. Where can we get a hold of you, Jimmy Boy?
I'm still on Twitter for a bit, SYZYGY, Syzygy, or at Late Night Loaf if you want to listen to my radio show.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And cheers. You're not here next week, are you?
I'm on call next week. Might be back from. I'm taking Beth away for the weekend, a long weekend, the weekend afterwards. But I might be back in time for that.
I'm sure she deserves it.
Well, the kids are in. They've got their first foreign trip, and so I want to keep her mind off it by taking her to the middle of the countryside.
Good thinking, mate. Well done, Monsieur Neighbour. Where are you
tomorrow? I am in the Katzen Beer Keller.
Oh!
Getting smashed.
Learning Russian.
It's Carl's birthday, isn't it, Carl?
Oh, yes.
Do I need to take some time-lapse to prove that it's only two beers before you go from stone cold sober to shit-faced?
Are you talking to Carl now?
No, I'm talking to you.
Me?
Yeah.
I'd never get drunk. But tomorrow I'll be trying to in the Carlson Jammers beer keller with Carl and his birthday. But on Twitter, I am Steve Naber, N-A-Y-B-A-U-R.
Thank you, mate. Jolly good. Sarah Gray, where are you, Mrs?
I'm on Best Places. Okay.
Tired old Bagpuss.
Yes, oh yes.
Okay. And when Bagpuss woke up, so did all the mice and the mice organ.
Yeah.
And Professor Yaffle.
It's warm.
Yes, it's very, very warm, especially in
Sarah's
here.
Sarah's not wearing pink.
Hey, why should
Bagpuss? Bagpuss
is pink. Soggy old Bagpuss, soggy old Clothpuss. But Emily loved him. I don't watch too much TV when I was a kid. Sarah, where are you, mate?
Best place to get me is on the Twitters and occasionally on Google Plus thingy and at Sarah Jane UK.
Thanks, Mrs. Jolly good. Mr. Madden, where be you mostly until tomorrow when you're under a table snoring?
You get me on Twitter at Clausio101 or various other shows on his very network.
And don't forget the Google communities, mate. Plug the Google communities. They're fantastic.
Also on the Google communities, yep, we got one virtually for all the shows we do. So just come and join us on there. Have discussions. Put your own discussions in to create further discussions and just lots of interaction is lovely.
It really is good, though, mate. It's the best thing we've done for ages, definitely. I think it's awesome, mate. Well done, pal. It's all down to you. Good credit where it's due. Okay.
Google do their own part as well.
No. They're just coders. Leave them alone. And Righty, where are you, pal?
Now you'll find me on rural broadband for the next 7 days when I go to Infinity, because this is rubbish broadband.
And
you'll find me on Twitter at Paulums, and you'll find me writing at BritishTechNetwork.com.
Good reviews, pal. Been impressed so far.
Thank you very much.
You've set the bar a bit high, though, mate. I have to say, to keep going.
Well, thank you very much.
The only way is down.
Yeah.
Sarah, is there any way we can get the Google Communities thing on like the website?
I've got some ideas on that one.
Good on you.
I'd already on the case. I just haven't had the time to do it.
A communities page.
Well, the idea is, my thinking is, you know, the section in the middle where the RSS feed links are, is to actually turn that into a banner with having other social network links and things like that, so we can add Google Plus and anything else that we might want to add for the future as well.
Cool. Brilliant. Good stuff. Thank you very much. We'll be back again next week. I'm Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. But next Thursday night, 8 p.m, we'll be back here discussing the week in technology. And then Photoshow and Mac Show will be on Friday. And it's definitely happening. We're back with the video. We're here. Thanks for all the patience with us. We haven't done it for any other reason than Carl can't do the video with everyone dialing in. And I've just been flat out working. So I've had no time at all. But we're back now. Thank you very much for sticking with us. You might have to resubscribe because iTunes may have unsubscribed you. But
Paul,
we'll see you soon.
Level 12, mate.
Level 17.
I think next week.
You win.
What?
Next week. Go on, Steve. Steve said next week and then frozen.
Hang
out. Go on. You said what? What's happened next week?
He's gone. He's gone.
I guess we'll never know.
Carl dies through alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, that won't take a week.
You've got to tune in to find out what your review is of Logic and see whether Carl actually survives his night out with all of us.
It'll be a memorial service next week for Carl's liver.
We'll see.
We'll see you next week.
What a way to go.
Thanks for listening.